Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now podcast. We are on scan number 2928. I'm sorry. I feel like I didn't take the burp there for a second. Excuse me. And here at NASCA, we have a single purpose, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with two goals. One, by educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone, and two, by offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And if you would like any of those resources that I just mentioned, you could go to NASCA, that's NASCA.org. And if you would like to join us this evening and be on our show and be one of our panel, we would love to have you. You could give us a call. That number is 616-595-2118. And this evening, I have Nancy with me again. And we are going to just figure out something to talk about again. Hey, Nancy, are you there?
Hi, good evening. How are you? Yes, ma'am. I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
Great.
Yeah, I'm up in Peyton, Colorado, so I'm somewhat out of range. I can't use my cell phone up here, but they have a landline, so I'm able to call around the landline. But I was able to get on the board today, so that was good.
Yes, good.
Then I'm up here spending some time with my grandsons.
Oh, that is nice. How old?
Mm-hmm. So the oldest will be 11 in October. I can't believe it.
Oh, wow.
And
I know. And
then my daughter so he's my bonus grandson, and I picked him up from school down in Littleton, down by where I live, and I brought him up here today. It's about an hour and 20-minute drive or something to get here. And then my daughter has a two-year-old. He just turned two, and then she's expecting again. We just found out. So more
congratulations.
Love to come.
Yes, you're going to have three.
Thank you.
Excuse me. That's
actually,
one of my favorite numbers. Oh, really? Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my other daughter has three already, so.
So they both have three.
Yeah, my
daughters
are at that stage. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's nice. Well, congratulations.
That's how many babies I had.
Yes, how many?
They Yay.
How many did you have? Two?
I had three. We had
okay,
three.
Okay, so all
yeah,
of you
so
guys,
we had two daughters and a boy.
We all have three. Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
My favorite number, 333.
So
three,
far,
three.
Although,
amen.
Yeah. I think my this daughter, though, specifically is planning on a few more because she wants a little girl, and she found out that this is a boy again. So she's going to.
Oh, so she's like,
you know, so I'm like,
may try again.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Bringing more blessings, making the family bigger.
That's right.
You know, more love. Like
just more babies to love.
So beautiful.
I do. I love the babies. How many babies do you have? I know yours aren't babies.
So
either.
I have four. Yes. I have four. So my youngest, he's the baby, and he's 14. So he's still, in my mind, my baby. But when I stand next to him and I see him starting to pass me and starting to tower over me, I'm like, he's still my baby.
Right.
So I understand what
happened?
You're saying. Yeah, I'm like,
time
just flew. They're
Close
growing
so
fast. But, well, it works out when I need him to grab something for me from the top cabinet. Then, you know, it's convenient. His height is perfect. When I need him to get a bowl from the top, or when I need him to get a bowl or a seasoning from the top shelf,
it
comes in handy.
Yeah.
I have to call the baby inside upstairs to get it for me. So it's been pretty, you know.
You know what I missed about?
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's so fun. And I really missed when my son moved out, and my baby's 23 now, but when he moved out at 18, I missed a lot of technical stuff because he would always keep my computer running and my phone running right, and now he lives like an hour away too, and so it's hard. I'm always calling him, when are you coming? I need your help.
Yes, I need the kids are pretty technical nowadays. It's just perfect because sometimes I really struggle with technology, but they come in and they save the day. I'm telling you, it's been like so perfect because even with these new TikToks and this new stuff, I'm like, oh my God, I have to get with the program.
Yeah.
I just call and ask for a little advice, and it helps to put me on track. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better. I've been recovering pretty good. Yes, I took it.
Glad.
COVID, and then now I just have a little mucus on my chest, but it's getting better, just a little cough. I'm still working to get rid of.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So like me. Yeah, but it's okay.
That's not
so
fun.
Much better. Yeah, it's not. It is not fun. I'm like, oh my goodness. But, you know, with everything going on in the world, I can't complain about those little things. I try to focus on positivity and just, you know, you got to look at life just differently, I think. You know, it's not just, you know, what we're dealing with now. We've been in about a couple of years of our country and our world, not just our country, because this has been a national, international pandemic. I think just everybody's coming around. Excuse me, everybody's coming around and realizing that there's just bigger things in the world, and we need to focus on healing, forgiving, loving, and walk in a better chapter. And set an example to the kids and teaching them what forgiveness looks like and what healing looks like and what love looks like. And it starts from us, ourselves, acknowledging our own faults, our own wrongs, and also forgiving others, which is not always an easy thing to do, but it's a process. You know, you get there.
No.
I've been really reading some good scriptures, and they've been just like, focused on not looking back and not being stuck back there and moving forward, like, and it's been really healing. So I've been just trying to stay positive.
Good.
And I make little things that are probably not a big deal, I make them a big deal in a positive way. Like things that are going on, like I don't care how small it is, I tell people to celebrate what's going on in your life. I don't care how small it is. Celebrate it.
Yeah.
Because
Amen.
You never know when your last day. So just try to smile and enjoy the day, every day. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. It has been, I was listening to the news, and I don't always pay attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just on in the background. But it it said last night, that, which is depressing. Yeah, I just, it's hard to listen to the news. But there's been like 220 school shootings already.
You said 220?
And I just, yeah, this year.
Wow. Okay, no,
school
I did
shootings.
Not know the numbers. I'm glad you said that. No, I did not know it was that number.
Yeah. And I just went, oh, my gosh. I mean, from something well, in our community, I was living in Columbine community. That's where I live still.
Oh, my Lord.
When the shooting happened, and my kids all went to Columbine High School, but that was long after that had happened. But anyway, that was the first one. And since then, it's become, it's almost like we're just expecting it. But nobody is doing anything to stop it. I mean, we've got to get on the other side of it. We've got to figure out what is going on with these children. Why are they doing this stuff? This, you know, it just is so sad. And, you know, we were just talking about my grandkids and your, And I think we have somebody on. Let's see.
Hello.
Let me see who's on here real quick and so they can join.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Who is this? Who are we talking with? Yeah, who is this?
Philip. This is Philip.
Philip?
Yes.
Hi, Philip. How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
How are you today? Are you hanging in there? Good.
Hanging in there.
Good.
Okay.
Well, we're glad you called in. Have you ever called in before?
Yes.
You have?
Well, good.
I have.
Yeah, we're glad to hear your voice. And I have Nancy on the phone here, and my name is Kim.
Hello.
And do you have something that you wanted to say about, I mean, we don't really have a guest this evening, and so we're just kind of talking, and we just started talking kind of about school shootings. Is there anything that you'd like to say about that?
Well, I don't know what got out of control because we never had shootings like this before, but it's not good.
No.
No.
All right.
It is not.
Yeah, I think everybody's just trying to digest it at this point. It's just a lot of back to back. You said your name was Philip, sir?
Philip.
Okay, so Ms. Kim just gave me the number for the year of how many shootings there have been for the year. She said it was 220. I didn't realize it was that many.
Me neither. I thought that was all together when she said 220, but it was for the year. That's crazy. That's unfortunate.
For the year. I thought that was like a total of forever. 220, I thought it was a...
No.
So when I was watching the news, they were talking about ways to talk to your children about what's going on. and that it is important to talk to them because obviously, we have 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds going to school and learning cuss words. You know, they're learning words from their friends, right? Mm-hmm. So they talk about things. They talk about things that you don't realize they even think about. Excuse me, because they're around different kids that are different levels. So it's best for us to speak to the kids in our family, whether it's a nephew, a cousin, you know, our own child, to kind of let them know what's going on. And they were, like, given ways to explain it to them because right now it's just a lot of confusion and they're scared. You know, they're scared to go to school, which is not a good thing at all. I really did not realize it was 220 shootings alone this year. That takes me to a whole nother place in my thought process. Because, see, when I was watching the news and they were talking about it, they said, you know, this is like 1 out of 100 cases. This is not something normal. So don't, you know, freak out and don't, I mean, but I didn't have those numbers. Had I had that number, that number is very extremely alarmingly high.
Yeah. I mean, because not everything makes the news all the time. So,
not
I mean, it's
everything.
Kind of just like the whole abuse thing, you know, which I am sure, I'm convinced in my own thinking that there has been some kind of trauma in these children's lives, and
oh,
that's
absolutely
why they are reaching out this way.
Okay.
What's that?
And you're talking about the children who actually did the act, or you're talking about the children who were in the room when the act just happened?
No,
because
the children
I think
who did the act.
Oh, yeah, them too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The people that are doing this act, there is something driving
some
them.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, on top of that, they said that he was having problems with his parents. He was a troubled child. That's why he was living with his grandmother. She took him in, you know, to avoid him going into the system. She stepped in to help him, to help take care of him, or not to go into the system, or to end in the street, right? She was being a grandmother, a caring grandmother, and she stepped in. And I don't know if she passed away. I don't know if she was just shot and didn't pass away. But do you know that part?
I believe she did pass away, yeah.
Oh,
I think she was
Lord.
One of the adults. I believe. I just heard
okay.
that, too. I heard they might know more by this evening's news,
yeah.
too. But,
well, they did.
Yeah. I mean, it scares me for my kids to go to school. My grandkids.
It is very scary.
Oh,
I'm scared. I was checking the security of the schools, and I noticed that they had, you know, one of the things that they said is make sure that there's a, like a buzzer system, make sure that there's a, that the doors are locked. Not just that some people can just come into some of these schools. You cannot do that anymore. You have to have a security system to kind of figure out who the person is that's coming in. We probably need to have metal detectors. Like, this is probably something that we need to talk about to put into the budget. This is something serious, you know. And if we hear it go beep, 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 then we need to check the person before they come in. And the reason why it's so important is because this is something that is actually happening. It's actually impacting. It's killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have to talk about the gun safety laws. You know, in Georgia, we had a new law that once you're 18, you can go and get rifles, you can go get guns. And it's like, you know, I think that we need to just regulate the guns. Because, I mean, I have a gun. I have a license. So, I mean, you know, I go to the range. So I do believe that you should be able to protect yourself. But when you're dealing with kids, they're emotional. And a lot of the suicides, I do peer support for lost survivors, survivors of suicide. And we talk about a lot of the suicides that we have coming in are from younger people having access to these guns.
Yeah.
Their own guns. Like, what? Yes, their own guns, and they have access to it, and they're emotional, and they're going through stuff. I mean, this life is not easy. It's not easy. Things come. You go through trauma. You go through psychosis. I know I've had a psychosis moment from trauma and shock, and you need support at that time, and so we do need to regulate. I think a lot of the argument as well is people who have had anxiety, people who have had depression in the past, they fall under the category of someone who has lived with mental illness. And then even if you're better, that will probably restrict the law for people who have, even though they shouldn't be judged because they went through something, you know, and now they're in their recovery. But I think that we all just need to sit at the table and say, look, this is what's happening. This is what it is. How do we try to help to fix this problem? How do we try to help our youth? And how do we try to make this a safer place for everyone? I'm scared about my kids. In school. I'm scared by myself in school. I'm scared. I didn't want to go outside without my gun. I'm like, Lord, help me. You know? I don't want to get caught up in a situation that I'm not able to protect myself.
Well, yeah, the grocery store or, you know.
What'd you say? What did you say?
I think the metal detectors are a great idea.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. Say one more time. Sorry.
I think the metal detectors are a great idea.
Yeah, metal detectors. And we all need to talk to come up with ideas, because I promise you, when we all talk, we're going to find some solutions. And there are budgets for this, and we need to ask for budgets. I know I'm going to be getting back involved in the school site council and all those things, because the baby's going to high school, so this is my last hurrah, hooray, hurrah, whatever it's called. But I want to make sure that I'm involved, and I'm asking questions as to, okay, how are we making the school safer? And I'm going to find out about the metal detectors. I'm going to ask questions, but it's not just one school. This is across the nation issue, and I really think they need to put security at the door and metal detector, and we need to find a budget for it, because this cannot happen again at this level. This is a few adults, a few children. This is, and then you said that you grew up in this area in Columbine. Oh, what do you call the place again? Columbine,
yeah.
I mean, what did you feel seeing this? Did this thing bring a remembrance of, like, is this going on again? Like, what did you feel about the Miss Kim? Like, this is serious.
I have a young son. My son was a little baby. He was pretty young when that happened, and he was in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
But I was helping out at the preschool that day, and so, you know, I took him right away, but then I had to go because all of my kids were at different schools at that point. My middle daughter was still in elementary, and my oldest daughter was in kindergarten, and so, yeah, you had to go and pick them up. And I think it was just kind of an unbelief. You know, everybody was just like, they couldn't believe it, you know, what was going on. And I didn't either. I mean, I never thought that 25 years ago when this happened at Columbine that
it would still be going on, and that this would be something that is become normal in, to some degree, to the degree that kids have to have, you know, drills on
wow.
shooting safety and stuff in the classroom. And, you know, I remember doing drills for tornadoes when I was in school, and that was pretty scary in itself. But, I mean, you think about it just breaks my heart that, you know, my little preschool grandson, who's 4 and a half, he's almost 5, he's going into kindergarten. You know, this is the way it is. And basically it's been that way with my other grandkids too, you know, my older ones. My two older ones are, the one's almost 11 and a boy, and then I have a girl that's almost 10, but they're in the same grade. They're both going into fifth grade. So
wow.
after today was their last day. You know, this is normal to them. Just having these drills for shootings is normal. And
right.
when I was picking up my granddaughter the other day, they had their field day at school, and I picked up my granddaughter and her brother, the one that's in preschool. And she was telling me that her parents let her walk down to the park, which is just freaking me out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I was like, you know, sweetie, that it's safer for you to run if somebody pulls a gun on you than for you to just go with them. And she goes, I know. And I know that you're supposed, you know, she's like, I know you zigzag. And, you know, and then I've got my almost 11-year-old grandson who thinks that he can just beat anybody up. And, you know, he's always like, well, if I was there, I would do this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I hope you wouldn't
right.
do that. But,
right.
you know, just the fact that they've got to think about it all the time. I mean, it's just part of their world. It's very sad.
And these kids, I feel like they're just growing up. They're just being exposed to so much adult issues. Like, it's back to back to back from them going into wearing masks and not being able to see facial expressions. I'm talking about the younger ones. To now having this type of stuff. And then I just, my heart breaks for these small children because the level of, I don't want to say attack that we are under, but the back-to-back-to-back, it's like we're still trying to cover the last season. And this season right now is, and then we're fighting each other, politics, and we're fighting. And I really, like Philip just shared, hey, I think metal detectors are a good idea. Just us having a conversation and putting our differences aside about religion, about politics, about, let's just think about our future and our children. And let's think about our babies. And this is for all ethnicities, all religions, all nationalities. You know, let's come together and let's put a plan together where we're really trying to focus on healing and empowering our community and taking back the community. We got to take back the block because everybody's feeling like we're losing control.
Well, we have, because nobody wants to speak up either when things happen. You know, nobody knows that they should speak up. It's become a just mind your own business thing. So, you know, if you see somebody walking down the street with a gun,
I mean,
you know,
okay.
you may think, oh, where is that kid going? But, you know, we don't inquire enough about what's happening.
Hey, well, you're right. People are scared. These kids, you say, don't do that, don't be friends. They will curse you out from here to kingdom come. I have shut my mouth times that I wanted to address somebody who, you know, a younger person who was being disrespectful or their pants were sagging or they were doing something that I felt I wanted to correct them on. And I didn't know how to correct them because as a mom, with my kids, I'm used to saying whatever I need to say, and they respect me as an elder. But with this new kid, I look young. You know, I may approach them, and whether you look young or not, some of these kids are hurting, they're angry, they're reactive. Is anybody on the line? Is anybody calling? I just want to know if did anybody else call
in? Yes. It looks like someone else is calling in. Let's see who it is. 678.
Let's check.
Hello, welcome. Who's on the line?
This is Jade.
Oh, hi, Jade.
Jade.
Good to hear from you.
Hi.
That's one of my friends. Mm-hmm. Jade, too.
You have great friends, Nancy. Well, welcome.
Welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
We're just talking about pretty much, you know, everybody's trying to process everything that's going on, and I think it's so important that we talk about it as a community, as a family, as a nation, because this really does impact us as a whole. But Ms. Kim was sharing with me that this is the 220th school shooting this year. I didn't realize that. I did not realize that we've had that many this year. When she said the number, I thought it was just in a lifetime. I was like, whoa, that's a lot for a lifetime. I thought that was just a lot for a lifetime. No, that was 220 for the year. I don't know if you were aware of that.
So I know I was looking at something else via social media, and back home in Philly where I'm from, I know that they had a number, maybe that might have been yesterday or something, like it was in the 200s. And I not to be overly religious or anything, but I feel like we are in some type of spiritual warfare, because every time you turn around, it's a killing. And now this recent one in Texas, and it's about, what, 19 students, two teachers or something like that so far. I'm not quite sure. But you were right. I was just listening to you ladies, and it just seems like, you know, not all, but some of today's millennial or generations, each household is different. You have children who are raising their own selves, so they don't know sometimes what that respect is, or that, you know, respecting your adults or respecting your elders, because they may not have that in the home, like they're raising themselves. And it's not about necessarily knocking the parents. Maybe there are parents that's not around like they should be, or maybe they can't for certain reasons. I'm not too sure, but I mean, it's just so unfortunate. It's so sad. And we as a community, I may not be in Texas, but being a mother myself, you know, and I've had a few things happen in Philly. So, you know, we have to, it's our duty, I guess, if that's the right word, to kind of, we need to stand up.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. I'm still in shock and awe at these numbers. And I cannot imagine what the family's dealing with. I just saw the news earlier today, and I haven't watched the news in months. I really do take breaks. I don't watch TV much, but I hear the news from people. I see the news on social media. So, but for this, I mean, my heart, like I felt like a hole in my heart. And so I was watching the news, and then I'm seeing, you know, people being a blessing, funeral homes donating services, but it's still, even though it's like, thank you for donating a free service to my child, God forbid, but this is what the parents are going through, and their reality is they're having to really figure out how. They just had a graduation that day for their children. They went to the graduation and left back to work, and then this happened. I mean, you know, if you knew that was the last time, you would say, I love you. you would hug. And that's why it was a blessing when I saw a memory that came up on my timeline where it said, you never know what tomorrow holds. Tell your loved ones you love them, so therefore I love you, just in case, because you don't know what day's your last day. So say I love you. Be intentional. All of y'all, I love y'all. I love y'all.
Love you too.
Exactly.
Sure.
Much
love,
love
y'all
to,
too.
Much love to everybody. Absolutely, because
yes.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. It's so hurtful, yeah. Because we have this going on. We have that big one in New York about that young man. You know, it's so much that's going on. It's just so much that's going on. That one in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, Lord. I guess I have to look it up. What happened in New York?
So apparently in Buffalo, New York, real quick, it was a young man who went into a supermarket and just randomly, he just started killing people. He started shooting, and about 10 people, I'm going to say, it might be more, but I want to say 10 people lost their lives. He had in his mind, he had it set out to do what he was doing. From the news, they said that he went in prior to the actual day scoping out the supermarket to set up how he was going to kill these people. I'm not even sure if he's over 18 or under 18, but he got a hold of guns. And he went in there and he just started firing just openly. And again, like 10 people were killed, and there were people that were hurt as well. And it's been on social media, you know, and it's kind of like you can't escape it, because if you have a phone, you're kind of going to see these things. And it's just so much. The Texas, the Buffalo, just other killings. It's just so unfortunate.
It's tough. I'm glad you said that, because I'm noticing that I know everybody's sharing it to to be in support of it and to show love to the community, but for some people who are in a very sensitive and weak state of healing, very fragile state, and everybody's in different stages, seeing these images, because I tell people, when you're not in a good place, take a break from social media. If you're not, I'm okay with, like, I'm watching it and I'm hearting it and I'm doing the prayer hands. I'm in an okay space right now. But for real, I really just want to encourage people, pay attention to how you're feeling. Do a self-check. Check on yourself. If this thing is triggering you and it's hurting you and it's making you cry every minute and it's just hurting your heart, take a break from social media and just pray for the family still. Pray for the community still. Pray for the children still. But be okay with taking a break if you need to take a break. Because this here, it could be very triggering. I have a lot of parents on my timeline, which has been very difficult because we're celebrating life. We're celebrating graduations. We're celebrating awards because I want my children to be able to go back on my timeline and see me celebrating them. But I have so many parents on my timeline who keep posting that they lost their children. Like, it's like back to back to back. And my heart is like, oh, my God. Like, I feel like I shouldn't even be posting. It's so bad. So just if you feel that you need to take a break, take a break. Okay. Check your mental health. Check where you're at. And don't feel guilty about it.
Right.
Don't. I mean, especially if you're an empath, you have sympathy, you have a heart, you're a loving person, you want to see people, you know, I don't wish death on anyone because there is no coming back from that. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to purposely hurt anybody. To see people hurting, I just want to love them. So hard, you know? Hug them all. Family members, children, siblings. We haven't even thought about the siblings. The 6, 7, 8-year-old brothers and sisters and the 12, 15-year-old brothers and sisters who now have to deal with this aftermath of their baby sister and baby, because it was little girls, little, but they were so cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went on social media and he posted before he killed or shot his grandmother, because I will have to double confirm that. I don't know who can Google that. So do you still hear him, Philip?
Somebody.
What did you say?
Are you still with us, Philip?
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah.
You're still here?
Do you have anything to say? I'm sorry. I'm just still feeling, my heart's heavy. You know, this topic is community, and, man, my heart is very sensitive when it comes to community. I just want to, like, help the community. But do you have anything, Philip, any thoughts or anything, even if you want to switch the topic, it doesn't really matter. Where are you at?
Well, I think it's kind of depressing that he went on social media to post about it.
Hmm. You said it was depressing?
Yes, it's disheartening.
Right. It is disheartening. You know, and it's, and unfortunately it's a part of our reality, and we have, and you know, we have to just let each other know, like, it's okay to feel, you know, because I feel like we have become a sensitized nation because we see so many elders passing away and everybody's like, oh, rest in peace, RIP, God bless you, you know, emoji praying hands. But now it's like, God, you know, we're children. And now it's like, oh, my God, we're ready to cry, we're ready to fight, we're ready to stand up. And I hate that it takes this, but it's, I hate that it takes this. But we all have to come together and say, look, let's not fight this politics thing. Let's be real. Okay, this is not safe. This is not safe. Let's change these laws. We still can make money. We still can do good for the economy. There's still ways to make money and still be safe. We don't have to, you know, do without in this area to compensate that area. Because at this point, we need to come together as a community. We are community. We are the community.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and we know the studies have shown that a lot of people who have been sexually abused as children, and sometimes even as babies, who don't remember the actual abuse, but they're still dealing with the trauma of it, you know, how is that manifesting if that is just sitting there from the time that they are little tiny?
Right.
You know, the trauma and then not being helped in any way, that puts kids in those positions that they're so frustrated and mad that they feel like they have to go take it out on innocent people. I mean, it's usually not even all the people that they're mad at. And it was I was reading a little bit here. I pulled some stuff.
Do we have another
Carol? Carol's on.
Hey, Miss Carol.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Carol.
Yeah, I fell asleep. I was going to call in and be on time, but I don't know. I had a late night last night. So I was listening to the last minute of this. Yeah. I was listening to the last minute of this. And I don't know what you're talking about yet, but keep talking because
we're talking about the shooting and, you know, talking to the kids. Just a lot. It's heavy on everybody's heart.
Well, that's something that's so heavy on everyone's mind. I actually, I actually cried today. I did. I was watching the news. I'm a news buff. You know how I am. And, my God, I actually just started to cry. You know, it's just so, it's really so awful. But, you know, it's going to happen and keep happening and keep happening. This isn't something that's going to go away. For one thing, I went to school in New York a lot of times, you know. New York, New Jersey. I guess that's why I have such a strange voice. I don't know. I can't make up its mind. But, you know, our schools, okay, in New York, I have to say one thing. And I was thinking about it last night also. Around the bottom of the schools, first of all, there were bars. Yes, there were, you know, up against the building. There were no open doors, doors that were unlocked. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people have gotten too lax because I watched some of the news earlier today. And I understand that there was a back door that was open, unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, we have to be more vigilant because we're living in a world that is not safe for anyone.
Right.
And, you know, so I think that people have to understand that, you know, it maybe doesn't look pretty, but we have to have our buildings in better shape. You only need two or maybe three doors for egress. You go in, out, in, out, in, out. That's it. Many schools, I had heard earlier last night, many schools, you know, they have many, many doors, and that's why you can't have, say, armed security officers because we just don't have the money to cover all the doors. Are open. Well, that's ridiculous. You don't have to have that many doors.
Right.
Okay? So I've been listening off and on ever since this happened. And I've been thinking, and I think, you know, when I went to school in New York, I went in Travis, Staten Island, I went there, PS26. It wasn't a pretty school, but it was a safe school.
Right.
There was none of that where anyone could get in because, yes, even back then, we had people at the doors that we did have security officers. You couldn't just walk into the building.
Right.
So I think they have to start thinking about better ways of making school itself safer so this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're talking about the, metal detectors, Carolyn.
What's that? Carol.
We were talking about the metal detectors, you know, like really trying to enforce the metal detectors, making sure that they have a drill, that they let the parents know, like, hey, we're doing these drills with the kids in case of an emergency. We have metal detectors. We have to work together as a community to protect our children. We have to. This is too
much. Absolutely. And metal detectors are something that were in place at one time. I'm not saying all over the country, but they were in place in certain areas, maybe more in the urban areas. And then all of a sudden they disappeared.
Because of budgets, they were talking about budget cuts and, you know, and we didn't see the need. But when Miss Kim said that there have been 220 shootings this year alone, I'm still in shock. I thought she meant 220 up to date because this is like a once in the blue moon type of thing when it comes to school shooting. But when I realized it was just this year, that's it. I couldn't take it anymore. I can't take it. I'm sitting there like, what?
So, Nancy.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey,
is
Nancy.
Anybody else on the call?
So, I just saw, I found something here that says more than 311,000 children have suffered some form of gun violence during school hours since the Columbine High School shooting in 1999. So 311 total thousand.
Wow.
311,000.
Thousand?
Yeah.
Oh.
311,000 children.
God. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised, okay? You know, our families have broken down. Okay, the family structure has broken down.
Mm-hmm.
I heard also on TV that a lot of times, like with this kid, he had no father figure. And there were other things going on in his family. The mother was a, understand, she was a drug addict, okay? And he was living with grandparents, and the grandfather didn't know that he even had the guns because he's an ex-con, and he's not allowed near the house, okay? Or not really, only once in a while, whatever. So, I mean, there's a breakdown in society. There's a breakdown in the family unit. And as long as there's a breakdown at home, I think you're going to have kids, okay, that are just so screwed up in plain English, all right? And then also they're angry. They're angry kids. I come from a day when the kids would go out and they'd play stickball on the street, okay? And, you know, they play basketball.
Well, I'm confused.
Well, you know, I mean,
I'm
like
confused,
today,
girl.
Everything is, they don't do what they used to do. To ride a bicycle was a big deal. You get together, you all ride your bikes. And, you know, you had to be home, like, when it was starting to get dark out, because that was dinner time, you know what I'm saying? Then you did your homework.
Yeah.
You watched a little TV. You went to bed, but people were talking in the family. I mean, that's the way it was. Now, people say to me, Carol, that's like how it was on Leave It to Beaver. I don't know if any of you know Leave It to Beaver. But I have to say one thing.
No, I did it with my kids.
It was,
we had dinner together because that's when we talked. Yeah.
That's right. And you were allowed to talk at the table, and someone would say, well, how is school today? This didn't happen in my home because I didn't come from a normal home. But I do know from watching Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Okay.
That's why we're here. That's why we're on the show.
There you go. That's right. That's exactly right. You know, but I used to actually, I watched it with my kids when they were growing up. And I thought to myself, wow, it must have been nice, you know. I mean, there's some truth probably in Leave It to Beaver time. Do you know what I'm saying? And even with my time too, even though none of us came from homes that were, you know, the way that they should be, there were kids that did, and it's getting less and less and less.
Do we have any more callers with him? I have a question. Do we have any other callers that called in? Because I had a message earlier. No? Okay.
Oh, we have Jade.
Does anybody?
And we just still have Jade on. And Philip and Nancy and Carol.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else want to say anything or thinking about something they want to share? Ms. Jade or Philip?
I don't have anything to add right now.
Nothing right now? Okay. What about you, Ms. Jade?
excuse me. Not really. I just, you know, was listening to one of the ladies, you know, talking about the healing. And Nancy knows all too well because we do speak together. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate thing because not a lot of homes. And I'm originally born and raised in Jersey by way of Philly, but you know, and having a single parent home, even though I'm a veteran, I'm a daughter's veteran, or however, my dad was, he was a veteran, but you know, still my mother was the only one that raised me, and you had limited type of conversations. You didn't have deep conversations, and I think for a lot of people, maybe those abuses that happened when we were younger could have potentially been dealt with sooner than later. It took me all my life to finally come out and start dealing with it. So that's a lot to hold, you know, to carry most of your life. So I'm just listening to everyone.
Yeah. No, and you're right, because like you said, a lot of these parents are from one parent household, like Miss Carol was saying earlier. You know, some of these kids, you know, you can't approach them, you can't do this, you can't do that. But what are they going through? What's going on with them? And the parents, and I know this because, you know, I'm married now, but I was a single parent. I went through a really bad divorce, and my ex checked out, and I was a single parent hardcore. And there were times that I had to be very I forced myself to be involved, but there were things that I had to miss because I was juggling so much. And that's just the reality, right? You have to go to work. You have to catch these bills, you know.
Yeah.
And these kids, you know, there was one time my kids were at school, my life got shut off, and I was just sitting in the middle of my room, bust out crying, you know. My account was negative, and everything was just going wrong. This stuff affects the kids. My kids didn't see because I begged them and borrowed and did what I had to do in the background. You know, but a few Christmases, they didn't have Christmas gifts under the tree, and nobody cared, you know, and they saw everybody else. You know, we were doing volunteer community work, giving other people stuff, and coming back home, and nothing under our tree, but at least we had the lights. And I just always would sit them down at the table and focus on love, focus on family, focus on other things, and try to take away from, okay, God, you know, guys, you get things in between. Don't focus on just the holiday, you know, but these kids, I mean, you have to, like, literally coach them through brokenness, coach them through when you're broke. You have to, like, speak to them and coach them, or else they're going to take that stuff and internalize it and look at themselves. Because my youngest was very young when I got divorced, and so he got the worst end of the stick. He got the most absent situation out of everybody in my house. He has the least memory of having a father. And so, I mean, this stuff affects these kids differently. Sometimes they don't come out of it. My son, I'm an artist, so I was able to always pour art into my kids, whether it was or music, or I poured the art, even though I was in pain. But some of these kids, they don't even know how to deal with this absent mother and father, or, you know, and with COVID, we have so many orphans. I mean, it's a lot going on with these kids. It's sometimes out of everybody's control. If somebody just passed away, they're losing parents, and we have to step up. But it's very scary talking and stepping up. We have to figure out and a good approach. You know, try to make it a jokey, funny, loving, and have empathy, because people are ready to snap. And that little boy that did this killing, he snapped. He was going, he was under pressure. He was rejected, his parents, and his grandmother. He was going through something. I cannot wait till I hear his story. His story is hard. It's going to be hard to get the full story because he's gone. I think he passed away. Didn't he pass away? Through the
he was shot.
He was so violent. I mean, they had to. He was out of control. He was going through psychosis. He blacked out. That was not him. He was under a demonic spirit. I know we hate to just take it to the spirit, but the man, this young boy, you know, he was hurting and bleeding.
But you know what? He was bleeding. I'm glad you said that. Because a few days before this actually happened, he cut his face up all over the place.
What? I did not hear
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. Oh. I just found this out just a little while ago. And now, look, if a kid goes to school, what's wrong with the school system? You know what I'm saying? If a kid goes to school and he's got cuts all over his face, and he had done it, he had done it himself. That, of course, and that's in one of the things when it comes to abuses. That's one of the symptoms. It's self-mutilation. Self-mutilation. Now, if the kid is doing that, and that's probably only one of several things. It's like everybody is so blasted busy. We live in a terrible world because we have all, you mentioned the COVID. Okay, we have that. And we've got all the other things politically that we're not really supposed to talk about. But I always get a little tiny bit in there. Okay.
But, it's a lot. You know,
we've got all these things like coming into our country. I'll put it that way to be kind. All right. All these things are coming into our country. And we have violence in the street. It's not just one kid. We have violence in the street. And it's not a racial thing. I'll tell you why.
Right.
Because whites are hitting whites and blacks are hitting blacks. I mean, you know, I mean, there's just everything is just so crazy. So you have all these things.
Yeah.
And so the people who are running the school systems and who are in the school systems, they're not even looking at the kids' faces. They didn't see that kid with cuts all over his face that he had self-inflicted.
Listen, I'm glad.
Well, they want a place to blame on the parents. That's their, it should be the parents' responsibility to notice.
Yeah.
Well, the grandmother should have seen it.
That's what
the grandmother
should have seen.
The grandmother should have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the grandmama probably, who knows how many, because you know what, this week I was talking to a family, and they said the grandmother has 16 grandkids. I couldn't even believe it. They said half her kids are in jail, the other ones are drug addicts, and she got all 16 of them. We were at the victims unit in the court, Gwinnett Court, day before yesterday. And they, and no, it was yesterday. And they said that she had 16 grandkids. I was like, oh my God. So they were donating, they were donating clothes and food and things to the family, because at this level, seeing the granny, you know, first of all, I feel like I'm old school compared to what my kids, you know, what here or what they're, I have one of them that raps, and sometimes he'll rap about that, sometimes he'll rap about community, and then other raps, I'm so embarrassed, I'm like, oh my God, so I'm here fighting for women's equality, and he just said the B word, and he's like, man, it's just music, and I'm like, no, guys, you don't understand the power of this music, so I try, I'm telling you, I try to keep, he has all kinds of music, good, and then he has the new age music where I'm embarrassed. But this is their culture, and they don't understand that, you know, this is not okay. You know, like, we have to keep just reminding them, like, please, the stuff that you put out, guys, into the world, it's affecting the world. It's like coming alive into the world, you know? So I'm just still in shock and awe with these numbers.
Yeah, and I have another thought. Oh,
yeah.
What's that?
No. I was just saying that I'm just still in shock. But there's no new callers?
Well, I was going to say, I was talking to my friend, and she's just retiring from Columbine High School. She's worked over there for the last 9 years. And she says, and so this could play a part in it too, I don't know, of kids just not knowing, being confused, that it's not cool these days to be normal, that you have to have something going on with you or something
some
wrong
drama.
Or you've got to be, you know, trans or bi
That's
or
true.
Gay or, you know, you've got to be something.
It's
you
true.
Can't just be normal.
It's true.
Yeah, you know
that
what you
might
do
that.
With your
that,
high school. That's sick. What you just
it
said
is
sick.
Sick.
Okay, that's
it. It is very fake,
because,
but it's a reality.
I know this, but check it out.
Yeah.
You think about it. You go to the mall, you're walking around, and let me tell you something, honey. If I went into the ladies' room and some guy came in who was dressed as a woman, I'd freak. Okay? Look, they don't understand who or what they are and all this other stuff. Look, you look down, and if you have a penis, you're a guy. And if you have a vagina, you're a girl. And so that's taken away from you. You don't have to decide what you are. And if you can't, if you're not happy within your own skin, as we say on NASCAR, I'm vice president. I've been here 12 years. If you're not happy in your own skin, go get help. And for God's sake, do not... Do not teach little kids, right, little kindergartners to third grade about Jen, you know, being, you know what I'm saying? Come on.
Don't teach them what?
Transgender,
Don't teach them what? You said don't teach young kids what?
Don't teach them about being, you know, you're a girl, but maybe you're really a boy. Don't give them that choice.
Yeah.
Don't start filling their heads
I'm seeing a lot of
with
that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's
one of my,
crazy.
One of my friends, she's in Massachusetts, and she's a doctor, and her child's in school, and they go from like K-1 to 12th grade to school, which is pretty interesting. But anyway, mm-hmm. she was telling me that they have the bathroom for the people who are, you know, different sex, and they're very big on, they even have like 3 and 4 year olds with makeup who are boys, like, you know, they're very big on respecting. And let me just tell you something. First of all, I know people who are we're gay and all that, so it's not a judgment, mm-hmm. but I think that when the kids are so young, when they're like 3 years old, I think it's kind of like, you know, you just have to be careful. Even though this is a, mm-hmm. well, maybe we should even go into that conversation, because I do remember that I watched a documentary where they did autopsies on the brains of people who were gay, and they saw that there was a consistent imbalance in the brain. So I really do think that that's sometimes how people are born, and that's just what it is, and you just got to deal with it. But I don't think that we should be pushing that agenda like Ms. Carol said. We shouldn't be, like, forcing that into mm-hmm. their eyesight when they're young. We should not be pushing that. Now, if they come to us and those are feelings they're dealing with and we get them support because there are a lot of resources, I'm good with that because I do have some resources, mm-hmm. you know. It's mm-hmm. fine. That's their business. Mm-hmm. And I know people who are like that, and that's fine. But when they're like 2 and 3 and 4 years old, we shouldn't push that on them. I agree. We should not push that.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem even for like NASCA or any group like ours, okay? And I've heard this on TV, and I, you know me with my mouth, I might write into it because I want to get a hold of these people. I don't care. They say that we should be, it's okay to teach them about, you know, a person's transgender, you know, that they don't know if they're a girl, if they're a boy, we should respect that and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But they don't want us to talk to them about safety issues. Safety
about what?
Issues. Safety.
Or about prayer. That's the problem I have. I'm like, why can't we pray together and feel good and take the load and the stress off and have a good day? You know, when I was going to school, I was going mm-hmm. through hell. And I went to private school for a good 2 to 3 years. And it was a Catholic school. I went to St. Mark's. I used to have my little uniform and used to have to go and talk to the priest and all that. I did my first communion. And listen, let me just tell you something. Something about being able to share, something mm-hmm. about being able to share with the priest and get it off my little chest, it was like a weight off of me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to worry about it being repeated. I don't know if he was a mandated reporter, but he never reported me. So I got it out, and then I felt good. And then we used to get up in the morning, say one prayer, and that one little prayer with my hand on my chest, because we did the mm-hmm. Pledge of Allegiance right after, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. I felt so mm-hmm. good in the middle of my chaos, mm-hmm. and I was so – I had the best grades. I was doing the best in that little quarter of my life.
It's a way of starting the day off, okay?
Yeah.
Because when I went to school, all right, we would start off by, you know, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, yes,
mm-hmm.
and also a little prayer. So
mm-hmm.
what?
That's fine.
Okay?
Mike,
there was nothing wrong with
need
that.
It. We need this. We need this.
Mm-hmm.
People are going through hell. We need to come back because everybody's like, no prayer, no prayer. Why would you take prayer out of school, man? People are going through hell. These kids don't even know. The biggest suicide rate right now is the youngest people. Okay,
right.
I go meet with NAMI, and they're like, yeah, we had 2 suicides last night. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm hyperventilating in my body. Like, why is this still happening? I mean, we need, these kids need a hug. We can't touch these kids because, you know, these people manipulate and make it, you know, not safe. But it's like, at least let's pray. Let's comfort each other. We need it. As a nation,
and
our hearts
that's
are broken.
Frowned upon. That is frowned upon. And I don't
our
know if
broken.
It's frowned upon because, you know, there are different religions, of course, all right?
Of course.
And maybe
so
that's why
love.
In the school, like,
yeah.
say, maybe some people are Catholic, some are, I'm Catholic,
right.
and other people are this or that, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but
well, we can at least
a
talk
universal
about God.
Prayer.
Yeah.
A universal,
right. a universal
prayer.
I agree. Yes, I agree. Love,
yeah.
peace, healing,
mm-hmm.
and just say God. Because you know what? Everybody's God is different. I have different friends from different ethnicities. Some of them are Indian, and you know, they don't eat cow and they don't do this. I don't care about that. I'm
mm-hmm.
big on love, healing, and peace. And the first person who was one of my mentors and prophesied over me was a Buddhist. God sent me a Buddhist. I was in Catholic school. I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've been around Christians who told me I'm going to hell because I had my kids out of wedlock. So I don't care about the religion. I care about your heart. I care about the love and the words
yeah,
that come out your
I hear
mouth.
You.
How you treat me,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about your religion. I care about your
right
heart.
Now they're having the role. They're playing the role of all the kids that have been killed. They have all their names. I have Hannity on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And on, you know, and I'm watching all these names going down. And it is
God.
So sad. And then, of course, there are
so
a couple
sad.
Of teachers, too. Yeah. Mm-mm. So,
I
don't
think
know.
It was two teachers,
crazy
one of the guys.
Right huh?
Well, you know what? I said, I don't know if it was two teachers or
mm-hmm.
the teacher and the grandmother. I don't know if the grandmother. I'm going to look up if the grandmother. Ms. Kim, can you check if the grandmother? I don't know if the grandmother. I thought the grandmother was just injured. I don't know if anybody on this call
she got
knows
shot in the face. She got shot in the
I
face.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought she had.
Yeah.
But
she, I don't know if she's dead. I mean, usually when a person gets shot in the face, they die. You know what I'm saying?
I know somebody that got shot in the face and then died. My neighbor
mm-hmm.
on my porch back in Boston back in the days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On my porch in my house, the house we own. She got shot in the face on the porch and her mouth. She was pregnant and she survived.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, her mouth was wired. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, you know, like, what's the extent?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our kids are watching. And so, anyways, I was watching the news today, and they were just giving us different tips on how to talk to our kids. They said just make sure that you don't show your emotions over the top, right? Make
mm-hmm.
sure that you keep it cool.
Yeah.
And then you let them know that there are people who don't have the best agenda. They went in. And they hurt people, you know, and I'm doing the best I can as a parent to get involved in the school board and to be a voice and to speak up on this topic. They were just encouraging parents to comfort the kids and to let them know, like, hey, guys, we're going to get through this. You know, this is the part that I'm going to play in it. Even one of my pastors, when he was speaking this morning, and he was, well, my bishop, really, he was speaking this morning, and he was like, you know what, we have to do something. We have to get involved. We have to, you know, get in these seats. We can't just complain in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't
mm-hmm.
make a change. If you have a heart to make a change, why can't you sit in one of the seats? Why can't you? You have a heart. You love people, and you're a survivor. You're just as qualified because you
that's
have the
right.
heart and the experience.
Well, that's it right there, though. You just said it. I mean, we the survivors, how many times do I say
right.
this on you know, on any show?
Mm-hmm.
We've been through it. And so we know what we're talking about. We know what it feels like, you know, to be abused and all
right.
this other stuff. And I think it's going to be we the survivors who are going to make that dent in the statistics,
yes.
okay, that we talk about. And because other people, I'm sorry, but they turn and they walk away. You know, that they don't look. They don't say anything. They don't do anything. They don't. They may be more aware of child abuse and all this other stuff or that, like, there's something wrong. Like this shooter who had cuts all over his face, someone in the neighborhood should have seen it. And his
I
grandmother should have said something, you know, all this other stuff. Said, hey, there's something wrong with my grandson. Look at him. He's self-mutilating, okay? He'd been doing that for a while.
Yes.
This wasn't anything new.
When people are depressed and they feel numb, a lot of times they cut because they feel numb and they're trying to feel. So he's been in a very depressing, hurt place and alone. Does anybody have anything they want to say? Anybody else besides us? I just want to double check in case Mr. Phillip or Ms. Jade. Anybody want to say something? Because we're almost, the show's almost done. So I just want to make sure you guys get a chance if you want to say something.
Yeah.
We will keep going.
Enjoying this.
What's up, Phillip?
I'm just enjoying this. I mean,
hey. We appreciate you coming out, Mr. Phillip. Seriously.
Yes.
Please come back so we can keep connecting. What about Ms. Jade?
Yeah.
You got anything you thought about? Or are you just tuning in, listening?
I just choose to tune in and listen right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, guys. This, like I said, my heart, I have a big hole in my heart, man. This has been heavy on me. And I know it's not just me, it's all of us. This is a community issue. Like, we're holding hands in the spirit. Like, I literally feel like I'm holding hands with people I don't know. That's how I'm feeling right now. This is how passionate I'm feeling. Like, I'm holding hands with all of you guys in this room right now and our community. And I'm crying. I'm crying as a person, not just as a parent. Because there's a lot of people who have had children and lost their children. There's a lot of people who have had pregnancies and lost their pregnancies. So I can't even say as a parent because of the level of the type of people that I'm meeting. I can't even dare to use the word. As just a human being with a heart.
I think the world, all right, our country, the heck with the world. Let's talk about our country.
Okay.
We're under so much, there's so much anger and hatred going on right now. And with all the people coming through the border, I will say this. Look, if you have 1,000 beds, and I'm just using this as a number, And you have 25,000 people coming through the border. What are you supposed to do with them?
It's very difficult because I'm an immigrant. So it's very difficult because I know when I was trying to survive and, I got kicked out in the street with my mother and everything like that. As an immigrant, I just wanted to be saved. And I just didn't think that it mattered that I was an immigrant. I was a person who needed to be saved. And so my grandmother had her citizenship, and she filed for myself and my mom. That's how when I was going through, I went through my abuse, my sexual abuse. I went through my physical abuse. I went through almost, I died and came back. I went through that in my country. But it's very difficult because, I do understand a lot of what you're talking about. But right now, I guess I'm just talking about just as a people, like just the level of attack that we're facing and just really the importance of us healing, because if we don't heal, like if I stay angry, if I get offended by some of the comments that are being made, if I stay stuck in that place, it's not going to be a good thing for anybody. Okay. So for me, I'm just like, okay, guys, how do we heal? All right, we did go through that. My family went through slavery. There's a lot of history that if I really go into it, I have different last names. If I really break it down, it's very, very deep. But now I'm like, okay, guys, how do we heal? How do we move forward? How do we be a better? How do we become a better nation? And how do we bring our children forward? Because my children were born here. They're American. And they're progressive. They're doing well. And I work in the juvenile system because I went through the foster care system. So that's a very sensitive area for me because I know I went through foster care when I was a juvenile because I was acting out because of my sexual abuse. I didn't know how to process my abuse. And then I had a stepfather who, my mom had a child with, and I felt like outcast. It's a whole other story for another day. But for me, my focus is how do we heal? Because if we start pinpointing, and it's going to create offense, if I hear somebody say, oh, this border and this person, okay, guys, this is what's going on right now. People are dying right now. How do we fix it? And I think that we as a community need to hold hands together and cover our children. And we need to protect them because they are defenseless. And they cannot defend themselves. And we don't want them to get to 13. And I deal with the juvenile justice system. Right now I'm a volunteer. I'm the chairperson for the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice System for the advisory board. And I know that there's 13-year-olds who are there for murder. I don't want these kids to go there for murder. So because I see that and I see me in them, I see me, I could have reacted like that. I could have ended up just like them. I really care. Because I have sons, I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter, and I have a grandson. I just want to focus on how we heal. I want to point the fingers because we're going to fight all day long. And what are we going to get? Nothing. And then our kids are watching us fight. They're losing respect. That's losing trust right there, too.
Yeah,
yeah, they're losing respect. That's why we can't check these little kids when they have their pants. We can't check
them. But what do they have to respect? They have to start, you know, people have to change. Society has
to change,
right?
We have
and
to
I
change.
Used to work in detention center. I was an officer of the court. And I looked just like a cop. The only thing I didn't wear, I have all my stuff here, my gear, but it was the gun because I wasn't a cop. But those kids that were in detention, they came from homes like we came from, okay?
Yeah,
and if you have a home where, you know, it's totally dysfunctional and there's no hope for that home because no one's trying to change or make it better, those kids many times are going to get into trouble. They're going to end up in juvie, and then they go from juvie to prison because the system doesn't do their job to see that they get the help that they need either. It's a twofold thing.
We need to find
some programs. Kids have to want to be better. People want to be have to want to be better. And the system itself, yes, has to change.
We need programs. We have to support a lot of these up and coming nonprofits that are being created to fix the problem. They're being born out of passion and out of the heart of people who have been through brokenness. I actually used to be a special police officer. So I shoot with the state police. I did all that. I have a lot of certifications with the state police of Massachusetts. And for me, I went into that field. Me and my ex-husband, we had a security company in Boston. We were the only black security company. And we were the only special police security company. And we did a lot of, I went to school, my degrees in criminal justice. So, I mean, this was something I was passionate about because of my brokenness. I went through the DSS system, which is the juvenile justice system, foster care. I went through that, and I had to stand in front of the judge, and the judge had mercy on me. She was an older white lady, and she was so sweet, and I still remember her. I'm like, oh, my God, that lady made a difference in my life. She could have threw my butt in jail, and she gave me a chance. And I still think about her. I wrote about her in my book, okay? And let me just tell you something. We have to be forgiven, and we have to work on healing, and we have to move forward. Because if we really stay nitpicky, we're not going to move nowhere. We're going to stay fighting forever.
Let me say something. Okay. Though. Well, let me say something on that because you made a very good point. We have to want to move forward. Sometimes people, that's why I'm so tired, too. I got home late last night, and I get this phone call, and I'm up at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'm still up. But anyway, the point is, if people are going to, they're too comfortable sometimes in their own pain. They don't want to move forward, okay? Sometimes it's because they like the attention they're getting. I put people to bed at night on the phone sometimes. They need to hear my voice. I think I said that the other night.
Yeah,
I have some of those. That's a small conversation, 15 minutes. Are you sure everything's going to be all right, Carol? I said, yeah, I'm sure. It's going to be okay. We'll work on it together.
Wow.
Oh, thank you. I've got to take my meds. Good night. Good night.
Well, yeah.
That's an easy one, all right?
But
the thing of it is this. I mean, if people don't have the right mentality about them, if they don't want to move forward. We can't stay stuck and think all the time about what happened to us when we were kids, okay?
Right.
We have to want a better life.
And blame.
And you have to do the work to get there. Whatever you need, you do it, okay? If it needs, you know, going to a therapist or going to a psychiatrist. I used to work with them, and they all had shrinks themselves. What a riot. You know, whatever it is, you know, you have to do, you do. You move forward.
You do it.
And you want to do it, I want to do it, we all want to do it, you know, that are on the show right now. We don't want to stay stuck because we're miserable if you're like that. You want to have to be happier, all right? And find a way to do it. You were mentioning earlier painting. Go back to the things that that you like to do, okay, that makes you happy. If you have nothing right now, you feel like you have nothing, find something that makes you happy and move forward and mingle with people. Too many people are loners, like this kid who was a loner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be a loner, then you're not going to be a happy person. That's just the way it is. So, you know, we have to work on ourselves. And, yes, all these horrible things happened to us. I told you how many times in my life I was sexually abused. You'd puke. You'd puke right on the bone, okay?
I know you have
but
a big story.
You can't, you can't live that way and be happy.
You can't get stuck there.
You know.
Right.
And so it's a society thing where people, we say, oh, yes, they're much more aware today than they were many years ago. That's true. I wrote my book 11 years ago, and there was only one other book on Amazon like mine at that time. You go on Amazon now, how many books do you find on child abuse? They're all over the place, which is good. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But now
that's
we have to do something, not just write a book, but we have to work in our communities, okay?
Right.
And get people to work with children because there's a lot of us out there, a lot of kids on the street, all right, that are coming from homes where maybe they're being sexually abused at home. Who do they talk to? They can't talk to anybody else in the family, and the families don't want to deal with it because they don't want the neighborhood to know that there's that problem in the family, okay?
Right.
So there has to be someone. You know, we have to work on that, too.
When you sit down, and I always try to look at the child. I know we're done with the show pretty much, but I always look at the child. And when you look at the child, whenever, even when people offend me, I see the child in them. And then when I understand the child, I'm like, oh, that's why they act like that. Oh, God, is the child. I always look at the child. So let's try to make sure that we look at the children in them because it's still a broken child in all of us.
Of course.
When we understand that, the better we're able to be more empathetic and bring back that heart, bring back that love back in the heart because people are becoming desensitized.
Yes, they are.
Time. Yeah, people
That's
are
a good word, desensitized. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's why the stats are all up. Do you realize that 12-year-olds are committing suicide now? As young as 12?
You said which age? Even younger, 7.
That's disgusting. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't do that.
And there's the
I thought 12 was bad enough.
Two that have gotten a hold of guns. Yeah, that have accidentally shot someone else, so. Well, we got 1 minute left, ladies and gentlemen.
Right,
it's been a great show. Thank you all for participating.
Yes, it was great speaking with everybody. You guys have a good night. God bless.
Good night and God bless.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
Thank
good
you,
show.
Cheryl.
Good show.
Bye.
Thank you, Jade. Thank you, Philip.
Bye, Jade.
Okay, honey, I'm going to hang up. Okay, bye-bye
well, remember,
now.
We're
very
all
good show.
Here. Bye.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah. We're all here for the kids.
That's right.
And so, yeah, if you see something, say something. Have a
there
good night,
go.
Everybody. Take care.
Good night.
Good night, girl.
Another tomorrow. Could that dawn with-